I always wanted dance to be part of our service, and when I opened 13 years ago, I didn't have any dancers here, but I had a dancer call me up from Fort Lauderdale, and she said, "Pastor Oki, I'm going to come and dance Sunday." And she set the atmosphere, and so I owe her a great debt of gratitude for setting an atmosphere, because for 13 years, we have always had dance. So God is so good. So we're on Season of the Soul, and we're talking about a time to gain. And to gain, you have to understand you're on a continuum. I teach continuum theology that comes from my background in mathematics. A continuum is a line in space that doesn't exist, kind of like Bitcoin.
Right.
But it's there. It's a line in space that doesn't exist, and it's used in numbers, and numbers is a language. Nature is a language. God speaks to you in different languages. Some of you never learn the languages. Some go outside and they see things, but they don't see anything. Others go out and they see the beauty, and God talks to them through the nature because they understand that language. Okay? Connie understands the language of animals. Yep. Animals speak a language. And some people understand it, and some they're just varmints. You know, others they're beautiful God's creatures, and He created them, and each one's beautiful. But she understands that. So we talk about continuum. The reason you have to understand continuum is because you can't gain something without losing something. Continuum are opposite ends. And so we slide up and down the scale of the continuum all of our life. And so at one end is one thing, and then the other thing is the other thing. And I'll give you an example. If you want wealth, you have to lose poverty. And you're somewhere on that continuum. If you want health, you have to lose unhealthy practices on the continuum. If you want to be free, you have to lose enslavement. Because modern day slavery is worse than any slavery that ever hit the world. No offense to anybody, I'm Irish, and the Irish were enslaved at one point. But today, it ain't about enslaving the Irish, it ain't about enslaving any nationality, any culture, it's about enslaving everybody. The banks, the insurance companies, the mortgage companies have us enslaved. If you don't think you're enslaved, then don't go do next week what they expect you to do so that you could pay them, and you'll find out that you're enslaved. And we're on that continuum, and we're facing some really record numbers of debt, which is very important to understand because it's really getting bad. Record numbers. And we don't find freedom because we won't pay the price to lose the enslavement. We won't stop using our credit cards. We won't stop borrowing money. We got to have, we got to have, we got to have, even though we don't have to have. I'm free. This church is free. This church has been free since the day we opened. We've never owed anybody a dollar for anything. I wrote a check for the church. We are free. We are debt-free 100%. I don't bow down to anybody because of their money. I don't even know who gives what. I like it that way. I've been in churches that were enslaved. And they had to market themselves and act in accordance to how they could get the most money. And it's sad. And it's destruction of the kingdom of God is what it is, right? So all of these different things that you want to gain, you have to lose something on the continuum. Somewhere down there, you've got to slide yourself down the continuum by giving up something to get something else. We want to gain without giving up anything. And I'm going to give you an example. I didn't get permission for this one. So I am the father, so I'm going to go out on a limb. For Tamara to gain health, everybody knows she's gained health, right? Everybody know that instead of going to the hospital umpteen times a year, she hadn't seen a hospital in some time now, right? This is what she had to give up over here. She had to get rid of the people that controlled her atmosphere. They kept her sick, and she didn't know it. She knew she was sick, but she didn't know why. But the people she hung around with were making her sick, but she didn't speak the language, so she didn't understand it. And that's our problem, is we don't always speak the language. We have to learn the language, because there's a reason you are where you are on the continuum. And if you want to gain, then you've got to get rid of the loss. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes, whatever it is. And it's not easy. It's painful. It's painful. But when you start to slide over to the right side of the continuum, your life starts to change for the better. Things start to get better. You start to find joy. You start to find a reason to live. You start to find what God wants for you. And it's a beautiful thing. If you want to gain integrity, then you've got to give up dishonesty. You've got to stop with all your lying. Lying about this, lying about that, deceiving this person, deceiving that person, and you have no integrity because you won't stop lying. You've got to give it up. If you want something, you want to gain, you've got to lose. Mm-hmm. I want to gain in every area of my life. You know, I didn't even read that. Sometimes you must lose something precious in order to gain something priceless.
That was priceless.
I never saw that. I never see the sermon on Wednesday, for those who don't know. I come up here and I've never seen the sermon. This is the way we do it. I only go by what God tells me on Wednesday nights. I never look at any notes. I never know what was written. I find out the subject during worship. She tells me what we're preaching about, and that's it. 10 seconds of what we're preaching on, and then I move on. That's great. It is a time to gain. It's a time to gain because the kingdom of God should be prosperous, should be full of healthy people, should be full of wealthy people, should be full of strong people. Because we're the light of the world, we're the witnesses of God, and they have to see something they would like to have rather than what they already have. And it's our job to display God in the correct way, that we would attract others to him. That's what I want. So, we'll let you begin.
When I was just going to say that every season actually is a continuum, because it goes to the extremes, one to the other.
Actually, everything spiritual is on a continuum. There's nothing
spiritual
that is not on a continuum. It's a language. Numbers are a language. Mm-hmm. When you start to understand numbers, you start to understand God speaks to you through numbers. And I know there's naysayers and doubters and all of this, but it's absolutely true. We opened the church on the 27th of May. May being 5, grace. 27 stands for preaching the gospel and being the light of the world, if you understood the language. So after I opened, I studied the number and I said, wow, how perfect. And I said to myself, I wonder what day I signed the contract for the church. went back and looked, and it was on the 27th. Yep. Not surprising at all. There's this big, big worldly evangelism event going on, run by Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. And it involves 30, 40 speakers from all over the world, all different religions coming together to, you know, to for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when are they doing it? On the 27th. God will speak to you in through numbers. Threes, eights, all the numbers have a language. And we never learned the language. And when I was in school, I began to understand that it was a language, and then I was able to excel at what I was doing. In my math class, 3 out of 30 passed. Because they didn't understand it was a language. They're trying to figure out numbers, and you can't do that. It's a language. Okay? And that's why I learned continuum in calculus. And that's why I've been teaching continuum. I teach marriage. Marriage is the biggest continuum you've ever will be on. And I try to teach people that are getting married and people that are married that are having issues how to operate their marriage on a continuum. Because it'll change your life if you'll operate it on the continuum. And I teach them how to slide each other back and forth on the continuum to get them out of the bad side into the good side. It's all part of a language that they need to understand in order to be married that other people don't speak.
On the marriage continuum, there's a hangman's noose on this end and a pot of gold on that end. No, just kidding, just kidding. Ecclesiastes 3:6 states, a time to gain and a time to lose. One would say we've spoken on gain in the season of gathering, but au contrary, my friend, they are two very different entities. What is the season of gain?
It's a season of acquiring something, obtain or secure something, whether material possessions or spiritual, such as understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. Now, what happens is we're conditioned to try to gain the wrong thing. So we want to gain money. Wrong thing. What you want to gain is understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. Money will follow that.
Right.
But money's not going to just come, but it has to follow something down the continuum. So when Solomon became the richest man in the world, because he asked for wisdom with the right motive. Most of the time we ask for things, we have the wrong motive. When we have the wrong motive, we don't get the prayer answered. We don't get the request answered because we had the wrong motive, and God's not going to give it to you if you have the wrong motive. God will give you something if you're going to do something with it that benefits the kingdom of God. So Solomon's just a kid. He's a very young guy, and all of a sudden he's put in a place of utter, you know, what we going to do now? I got to manage a kingdom. I don't know nothing about a kingdom. I'm just a kid. I don't have maturity. I don't have knowledge. I don't have wisdom. I don't have understanding. So I'm going to go to God and get what I need. Understand what I just said. I'm going to go to God and get what I need. Stop trying to get what you need on your own. Go to God to get what you need. Okay? So you go to God, and Solomon went to God. He says, I need wisdom to govern your people. And so with wisdom came wealth. The two go together. It's a byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come if you have it. It's going to follow you because you're wise. And that's what Solomon did. He became the richest man in the world because he was the smartest man in the world. He had wisdom that confounded everybody. Other rulers, other, you know, queens, kings, anybody, they all were confounded by how intelligent he was. And I love the story of the two women fighting over the baby. That's just the greatest story because he, in his wisdom, he says, let's just cut the baby in half and you both take half. And it was okay with one of the ladies, but the other lady said, oh, no, give her the baby, because she would rather for her child to live and lose her than to keep the child. And Solomon knew he could figure out which was the mother by their reaction of cutting the baby in half. That's wise. That's wisdom, right? So when you're wisdom, you make good decisions. You make good financial decisions. You make good investments. You do a lot of good stuff when you have wisdom. If you're spending your time gaining what the world has to offer you,
you're gonna lose it.
I will promise you, they're going to make a car next year with more horsepower than they made this year. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what number we're up to right now, but we're up to death on wheels. Okay? I have seen cars over 2,000 horsepower. Right? My truck has about, it's either 400 or 500 horsepower. It is quick. I can't even imagine 2,000 horsepower. And there are cars, many cars out there with 2,000 horsepower. When's enough enough? When is fast enough? You can only drive so fast. And when's enough enough? You're going 250 miles an hour. When's enough? Right? And the answer to that, with the depravity of man, there is never enough. I don't care what you have. You'll want something else. You have a car, they're going to make a better car. They're going to make a faster car. They're going to make a prettier car. They're going to make a shinier car that you're going to want when you chase after the things of the world. I've changed my wife's wedding ring 3 times. I've been married once, but I bought 3 wedding rings. She started out with a quarter carat. That's all she wanted. How lucky was I? Then she went to a 1 carat. Then she went to a 3 carat. She don't know it yet, but they make 5 carats. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. And she's afraid to wear the 3 carat. She won't wear it in Fort Lauderdale at all. So when you chase after the world's gain, you're never satisfied. I have seen people with literally more money than they could possibly spend, and it's still not enough. There is no enough when you're chasing the world's gain. There is not enough. You don't have enough clothes. You don't have enough jewelry. You don't have enough cars. You don't have a big enough house. Nothing is enough. It's just an insatiable desire for something more that won't go away. Okay, but when you start to chase the things of God and you want to gain the things of God, understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, you want to get closer to God, you want to understand the scriptures, you want to start speaking a new language, the language of Jesus, all of a sudden, and I'm telling you from personal experience, I've often told you, I'm not a hypothetical preacher. I preach on things I've lived through, been through, done. Got the shirt, the whole deal. I know what I'm talking about, okay? And I spent years chasing the things of the world, so I know what I'm talking about. But when you start chasing the things and to gain that are godly, contentment sets in. And all of a sudden...
Be careful, because we're going there.
Are we going there? Okay. All of a sudden, you're fine. You got all I need. I don't need nothing else. I'm fine. I tell my wife all the time, I want nothing. Fine. We got everything we need. All right, I'll let you go.
The season, this is a season of exploring the fleeting nature of earthly gains. That's what he was talking about. As we seek new opportunities to make these gains in various aspects of our life entwined with the importance of seeking the ultimate meaning for each gain with our gratitude. With every gain that you get, you should be thanking God because you didn't get it just because you're lucky. Being serious. Where a season of gathering is to...
Gather is to come together, assemble, or accumulate to collect something.
Note that the verse also highlights the corresponding a time to lose. We need to understand and acknowledge that life involves both growth and decline, the continuum he was talking about. When Solomon said, there is a time to gain and a time to lose, he was saying God gives the good as well as the bad. Understand one thing about Solomon, and I believe I'll go check it, double check it, but Solomon was not a grown man when he took the kingship.
No.
He was a child. I want to say he was 8.
I think he was a little older, but I'm not
sure. A little older. I'll go check and make sure. But he was a child. Yeah. He was a child when he took kingship. That's a smart thing for a child to say is give me wisdom. Any other child would have had 10 wishes and 10 more. I'd have said I need 10 wishes, and on the first wish I'd say, can I have 10 more? But he asked for wisdom. We need to learn from him. The book of Job defends this thought process. When Satan went looking for someone to tempt God, God suggested Job. Then Satan tried to gain Job. He tried to gain him as a mark in his pocket. Remember, he went to God and said, if you remove everything from him, I bet he curses you. Mm-hmm. So he tried to gain Job away from God by using his wife through the spirit of manipulation. Now listen to me. She said, go ahead.
His wife said, still holding on to your precious integrity, are you? Curse God and be done with it. And we live in, and always have lived in a society where Satan uses good people as pawns.
Absolutely,
and
every day.
Some people get offended when I say this, but you've all been used as pawns. Okay? You know, and doesn't make you a bad person. Like my friend Ron always says, that doesn't make me a bad person. I disagree with him most of the time, but hey.
Oh my.
The thing is that we all have weak times. We all have weak minutes of a day, weak hours of a day, weak days. I like what Coach Deion Sanders says. He says, I might have a bad minute and I might have a bad hour, but I ain't having no bad day.
Right.
You know, in other words, I'm going to limit my exposure to things that aren't going my way. Okay. So I'm not going to, but, you know, Christianity is like the stock market. There's ups and downs, but a Christian does his ups and downs as he's going up.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do them flat-lined, okay? A real Christian's going like this, up and down, but he's gaining.
Mm-hmm.
And as he gains, it's not as volatile. A new Christian's more volatile than a mature Christian who's less volatile.
Mm-hmm.
In their ups and downs. Because a Christian learns how to control their emotions. A Christian learns that emotions lie to you anyway, and it's not as bad as it seems, and it's not as great as it seems. Just calm down.
That's true. God and Job, unwilling to lose his relationship with God, spoke this back to his wife.
You're speaking nonsense, like some depraved woman. Are we to accept the good that comes from God, but not accept the bad? Throughout all of this, Job did not sin with his mouth. He would not curse God as the accuser predicted. Life is a series of tests to produce your character. And sometimes Christians get off base thinking that God is concerned about their comfort. I don't think so. He's concerned about your character. And if discomfort strengthens your character, you're going to get discomforted.
Mm-hmm.
because he's got to do whatever he's got to do. That's why in baptism class, I always say this at the end. Prune yourself before God prunes you, because it's a lot less painful for you to prune yourself than it is when he prunes you. But you're getting pruned, right? So
Job gained favor with God. Hear that? He gained favor with God when tested. God knew Job would not fail him. We as humans tend to make the scriptures fit what our needs are at the time. For instance, take the saying, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. We like to take this phrase and say that God gives good to good people and God gives bad to bad people. That, my friend, is twisted at best and an absolute misunderstanding of this scripture. Let's see what the scripture truly says.
You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. Listen, if you didn't have some friction, you couldn't get shinier. Diamonds are made from coal, from pressure.
And iron sharpens iron.
God allows Satan to put people in your life that are going to rub you the wrong way. Lord knows I've had a bunch.
The rest of your scripture goes with what you're saying.
And God wants us to grow and learn how to handle it.
Right.
And can I tell you this? This is true. When you learn how to handle it, all of a sudden people aren't getting under your nerves anymore. All of a sudden you don't have that friction. All of a sudden you don't have that tension. All of a sudden you don't have that animosity. All of a sudden you don't have that hatred, that anger, whatever it is, combination of thing you're putting together in your head because somebody said something that you don't like. I automatically assume you're all going to say something I don't like. It's easier to live that way. But I've also learned that it doesn't matter what you say.
Right.
Okay? What matters is what God thinks of me. Right? And that's how I learned how to stop pleasing people. You don't have to please nobody. I got to please God. And God gave me a particular job that's not going to please everybody. So it goes with the territory. So I've learned how to deal with it. I've learned how to handle it. I've learned how to get out from underneath it so that you cannot really aggravate me for very long anymore. And I can remember, and people sometimes wonder why I let things go on as long as I let them go on. It's because I used to be that person, or I used to be part of that situation, you know, where you know, I wouldn't go talk to somebody in church because we had a separation. And now I see it and I feel sorry for the people because I understand that your blessings are tied up in each other and you're too stupid to figure it out. Go back and ask for more of that wisdom. Why do you think that person's rubbing you the wrong way? Because God has something for you in them and Satan doesn't want you to have it. So,
I need you to untie my blessings then, because I know I rub you the wrong way a lot. You still got two more screens to read.
Okay, here we go. We ready? When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. Like my wife does. When I give her a hard time, she doesn't yell at me. She doesn't get mad at me. She goes to God and says, God, that man you gave me, will you handle that? That's how she deals with me. That's how she's always dealt with me. For then you are working out of your true selves. your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty.
One more.
If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. Well, I said hi to them.
Well.
You want a medal or a chest to pin it on? God's expecting so much more out of you. He's expecting kindness, compassion, and I remember, I'm going to tell on Pastor Linda now.
Remember, this is the month of grace. It's 5.
We're going back about 12 years now. And Pastor Linda had a really bad day. And somebody she cared about had died. And she was just not herself. And another pastor got deeply offended by it. And I went to the other pastor's house and sat down and talked with them and tried to explain that Linda had a difficult day.
Just come from a funeral.
Yeah, she had just come from the funeral, actually. And do you know she never got, the other pastor never got over it? And it ended up leaving the church? And it's a failed test all the way. We have to get to a point where we understand that we have bad days, so does everybody else. And sometimes that person was short with you or curt or whatever because maybe they're in a lot of pain. We do have people that come here in pain. We have some that will stay home, but we have some that will come in pain. And sometimes they just don't give you the answer you want because they're not feeling well and they don't let you know it, that they don't feel well, okay? But even if they have no reason and they just do that, why do you allow somebody else to change who you are? Whatever you do should not change who I am in Christ, right? I'm to love you, to care for you, to have compassion. And that's not supposed to change because you said something that I don't agree with or you said something about me that's not true. We have to, if we're going to gain the relationship with God that we need, we have got to respond in a godly way. And that is to not allow anybody else to change who you are. It's the jellyfish story. The jellyfish had washed up on the shore. And there were hundreds and thousands of jellyfish. And the guy was picking them up and he was throwing them in the water. And as he did it, it was stinging him. And he would throw it in the water and he'd rinse in pain. Then he'd pick up another one, throw it in the water, and rinse in pain. And somebody was watching him and they came and said, "Why are you doing that? They're stinging you." And he said, "What they do does not change who I am." And that's what Ezekiel was told. Ezekiel was told, "I put you with the scorpions." Yep. They're going to sting you. They're going to cut you. That's not to change who you are. If we want to gain godliness, we have to find out who we are and then be that person. and not let the actions of others make us somebody we're not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense to anybody?
In going back to the story that he was telling you about me, understand one thing. I never said a word to her. That's why I keep telling y'all, your actions tell the intent of your heart. I never said one word to her. It was what I did that upset her. I never said a word to her. Go figure. Think of it like this. You are a seed planted waiting to be harvested by God. Good equals water. Are you aware that you can overwater something? I killed a cactus by overwatering it. You know that the human body, the human body can also get too much water. The human body, and you can die from too much water. Let's look at this.
It has been said, you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. God wants you to gain all he has planned for you, but you have to do according to his terms and his will for your life. I always say we can be so worldly that we're no spiritually good, or we can be so spiritual that we're no worldly good.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to seek balance. We try to seek balance with God and with the world, because we do live in the world. And even though you're not going to be here long, make the best of your journey.
Right.
It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Life is a wonderful journey. That's why we call it a journey of faith. That's why our Friday service is named Journey of Faith, because we are on a journey and we're on it together. And some of us are on the journey a little more advanced than others. Some of us are going quicker than others. But the goal is to turn around and bring somebody with you. The goal is we all get there.
Right.
And the journey is extremely important. And to do that, we're going to have some balance in our life. And we're going to have to learn to have great compassion for others. When I got the news that 120 or 30 people had gotten laid off, I felt so much compassion. I got that news a few days ago, and both Jeannie and Marisol were not among that group. And Marisol was giving praise to God.
Mm.
And I'm sure you were, Jeannie. And that was great, and I was very happy about that. And it's all about position. And two people that have positioned themselves fairly well and were able to. And the thing was is that Marisol's boss got laid off. I mean, people that had been there got. Jeannie just joined the company a half a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's brand new, and she didn't get laid off. But when you hear something like that, when you hear news like that, do you just ignore it as if it never happened because it didn't happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you feel their pain? And you're not going to gain until you start to feel what God feels. How much, and I love my sermon called "This Is Going to Hurt." And the reason is it's a sermon about why God hasn't come back yet. Because when he comes back, he loses hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. And remember, he doesn't want to lose one.
Right.
And all of a sudden, on that day, he loses more than you can count. On that day, it's over. On that day, there's no more redemption. On that day, it's over. And he loses all those people. And the Bible says specifically that Christ is held back.
Right.
Because, and people say, you know, wanting Jesus to come, you're speaking the wrong language. I wish Jesus would come back. I wish you would learn a new language. And say, God, I need to get one more before you come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it hurts you less.
Yep.
That's mm-hmm. God's language. That's the world's language. I want Jesus to wish Jesus would come back. That's the world's language. That is not God's language. God's language is, I need to get one more before you come back, God, so it'll hurt you less.
Yep.
Now you're speaking his language. We got to go.
One more thing. I'm going to leave you with this because part two is going to pick up here. Think about what I'm going to say to you. Adversity is actually a gain. Think about that.
We have a saying that when it's falling apart, it's really falling together. Lord, we thank you again for another wonderful night. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, God, for your spirit. Thank you for enabling us to be able to walk closer to you on our journey of faith. Lead us and guide us. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.